I wasn't going to talk about the Continuum project, but while it's loading up, I will say that ASPH is going to take a look at thinking about the continuum of education from baccalaureate to doctoral degrees and reconceptualizing perhaps what that's going to look like to make sure there's a smooth transition. I'm going to talk a little bit about what that might mean in a slightly more pragmatic way when this all comes up, and here it is. And if you have questions about that, I will be happy to talk about it a little more specifically. What I want to do is sort of be a little bit more of a provocative response in a practical way. Let's see if I can make this work. First of all, sometimes it's all about money and time. Universe is a characteristic state that may be summarized by the words that the lady said, I have enough money to last me the rest of my life unless I buy something. And as you've heard a lot about this, it's really nice to talk about all these things, but where are you going to get the resources to do it? And resources come across in both time of faculty and reorganization of structures and getting people to talk to each other. And now that I've been at the university for a little over 30 years of my life, I realize how important these things are, as some of you might know. And in a lot of the work that I've done to try to think about how to do this, getting undergraduate stuff to talk to graduate stuff, most of the faculty in graduate education are faculty who have never taught undergraduate students. Example by the our illustrious dean who admitted that out loud in an audience. Graduate professional faculty expect entering graduate students who came out of undergraduate programs either immediately or sometimes with a few years of experience to do the following things. Recognize knowledge areas, have both breadth and depth, have a proficiency in some areas at Bloom's taxonomy. Do you all know Bloom's taxonomy? With some of that, at lower minimum areas, in some areas like English, for example, and in some concentrated areas at higher levels of Bloom's taxonomy. To be able to describe how some of those areas of study could lead to a career, but not every area to lead to a career. And describe how graduate coursework that they're coming into that your graduate program in public health could lead to a particular occupation. They expect this to happen. That is not necessarily the faculty know how to get them there, but they expect the student to be able to get there. And develop what a guided mastery in a minimum of one area in that graduate's program that they're studying. Now, the definition of mastery will vary by field in the technical area or the arts area or the science area. You heard a little bit about STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which is another thing that's being pushed on undergraduate education as well. Now, it's interesting. This is what the faculty sort of assume in their heads. They don't expect to have to do that at the graduate level. They expect the student to be able to do that. And yet, the student expects the faculty to help them do that. And how are we going to prepare the faculty to be able to understand that they have a little bit of a role in this? And yet, herding the faculty in to be able to recognize that some of these students are coming in with some experience in public health about the basics of public health when the faculty at the graduate level are focused on their research in a particular area of public health, and they themselves do not know the breadth of public health is a challenge. Now, what graduate professional faculty expect the exiting graduate students to be able to do, writ large, is cite primary references in their area of field, including the theoretical constructs as it serves as the foundation of the sciences and health public health principles, focus their work in a higher level of Bloom's taxonomy in their area of study, apply their coursework to their career goals, although the faculty don't feel responsible to have them have a career. That's not their job. Their job is to give them the science background, and develop a degree of independent mastery in the selected skills or competencies within their field of study. Now, the independence, of course, will vary by type of science or professional practice. And that, again, that state will be varied by the type of academic degree versus artistic capacity. And in public health, if you're an epidemiology major at the master's level, you'll have a certain amount of independence, but not complete independence. Now, if you're a doctoral student, the independence goes up very high. Now, remember that not all faculty are capable of defining that independence. If they're an epidemiology faculty member, will understand the degree of independence if you're a social science major, like health education. And that independence across the majors in a school will vary. And yet you have undergraduate students coming in saying, what major should I have? And if they talk to an epidemiology faculty member, they wouldn't be able to say, well, no, you should really be a social science major. And that is difficult at the graduate level. And trying to get faculty to understand those differences in majors within their own graduate level, trying to help an undergraduate figuring out what major they have when they get into a graduate program, can be challenging. Another quote, caution, college life is highly addictive. Use in moderation. You don't have time to have them in college for years and years and years. Undergraduate education is usually considered to be about 4 years, and MPH level graduate schools consider it somewhere between 1.5 to 2 years. But you would love to have them longer because they never can learn enough. If you were to give graduate faculty, how much do they need to know before they graduate? Well, it depends on what field you're in. And some of us would love to have them another year because they don't think we know enough to be independent thinkers. And some people would say, oh, get them out. And as schools of public health proliferate and more students want to come in, we want to get them out faster because our classrooms are being filled up. And I think if you were to ask a lot of individuals, how many students can we take? Their pressure is that the classrooms are not big enough to hold all the students because public health is becoming kind of a du jour degree now, and there's more and more demands to fill them up. So we want them to use it in moderation so we can get the next group of students in. I'm just being pragmatic here. There is a challenge with undergraduate education. Let me raise some things to talk about. I hope you challenge me on these things. Articulating undergraduate and graduate education programs. How do they differ from one level to another into courses with the same content? So let's say you have an undergraduate program in EPI. You have EPI 301, and now all of a sudden they've had that EPI course, and they want to transfer into an EPI course at the graduate level into EPI 501. Should they take EPI 501 if they've had EPI 301? Or should they, when they get to the graduate level, can they skip EPI 501 and get into EPI 502 because they've already had EPI 501? Or did they have to take EPI? They said, I've already had an EPI course. Can I take the advanced EPI course? I mean, this happens, folks. And if they're at the same university and the same professor, or if they use the same textbook, okay? How do they differ within curriculum the same professional field that specifies the competencies, health education? I have a BA in health education versus an MPH or MED in health education. Are those competencies articulated very well? How do they differ within curriculum within the same professional field that specifies the same core courses? Example, all CEPH accredited undergraduate courses and graduate programs with the same five core areas. I already had all those five core courses. Do I have to have the same five core courses? Can I skip one of them? Environmental health, for example. I've already had those. Can't I have something else? I feel well educated in environmental health. Could I skip that one and take something else? I've heard all these already. Articulating undergraduate and graduate education programs. The role of competencies, learning outcomes in undergraduate, and courses within the same larger curriculum. How does an undergraduate major in the content area account for knowledge of the same subject? For example, a new MPH student with a BA in health education and a CHES certification is enrolled in an EPI, wants to take role in EPI. They've changed majors, now they want to be an epidemiologist. Could this undergraduate degree substitute for the required social science course? I have a whole degree in something. I'm certified in CHES. I don't think I need to take the MPH course that's required in social science. Can I skip that one and take another course in EPI? does an undergraduate statistics major and MPH in behavioral sciences need to take the required biostatistics course, 501? Or could that student take BIOS 503? But we require everybody to take 501. And you got your statistics course. It wasn't biostatistics, it was statistics. We want you to have the bio version of it. How does the placement of the course within the undergraduate curriculum, lower level or upper level, influence its credibility within the graduate professional school? Or does it matter? Oh, I'm so sorry, you took your course as a 101 course in the undergraduate, and that doesn't count. You have to have an upper level division course. It gets more complicated now because in many places, because of the cost of going to college, following this has happened. How does the growth of students progressing from two-year community colleges going into four-year colleges and degree programs influence the articulation between community colleges to four-year colleges to graduate schools? And now you have articulation between community to four-year to graduate schools, and now they've gone to two other colleges. This is happening now. Gets more complicated with the growth of 4-1 programs and 3-2 programs. How many courses should count for what level of degree? Should all courses in your 4-1 programs, that means you get your master's degree, should be at the 300 level, or do they have to be at the 400 level series, if you follow me? Who decides the curriculum or the competencies in the undergraduate program that are in these 4-1, 4-2 programs? Should the faculty at the undergraduate level determine those that are in the 4-1 programs or the graduate school? Do the employers get involved? Does the profession or the accrediting agent determine it, or should it be a combination of all of the above? And you can find that, at least at some universities, the graduate school has a say at the graduate program, or the college has a say at the college level, and these don't always talk to each other. So that wasn't enough. I will stop here. A fellow told me he was going to hang glider school, and he said, I've been going there for 3 months. And I said, how many successful jumps do you need to make before you graduate? And he said, all of them. Well, it's hard to do this because there are a lot of things that determine how these interfaces between undergraduate and graduate take place, because all universities are not alike. And some have an enormous amount of experience between undergraduate and graduate, because in some colleges and universities, the graduate school courses and the undergraduate school courses are feeders to each other, and the faculty are the same ones. And other places, there is a big divide between graduate education and undergraduate education, and the faculty don't even know each other. And the concepts of how these two are articulating are very different. And one of the things we're going to have to do is, you want to put these things together, we're going to have to think of creative ways to do it. And some of the 4-1 programs and 3-2 programs are from different colleges. You will have undergraduate and graduate education with, for us in our case, Agnes Scott, which is a liberal arts college across town, transferring their students into the Rollins School of Public Health on the other side of town. And we're transferring those credits into being a dual degree program. I didn't get into dual degrees, but they go on and on and on. So we're going to have to think of ways to articulate those. Thank you very much.